This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello, everyone. Calling this meeting. Looks like it's moving now, right? Yeah, numbers moving. Life is good. Thanks, everyone, for adjusting with our little meeting change. Apparently, someone is retiring upstairs, so we have bumped down to this room. So we'll check into that for our next meeting. Are there any other late additions to the agenda?
Do I want to take a bite of cheese?
Do this?
Yes. I would like to discuss marital status changes to the state.
Okay. Put that under new business.
With the caveat that I have a buyer's meeting at 1.
Oh, okay. So the performance dialogue update might be a lot longer than 15 minutes.
Never mind.
We'll put it on there for a minute. So again, marital status
changes.
Changes and benefits.
Changes in marital status. Change in marital status before benefits and services.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Joseph. Any other additions to the agenda? Great. Seeing none, we'll move over to the approval of the minutes. And they were sent out for the second version yesterday. Any comments, questions, additions to minutes? All right, seeing none, I'd like to just move for unanimous consent of the minutes. Is there any dissent? Yay, those passed. All right, moving on to our business of the day. Two large things. We have a few guests today. The first is updates from the wellness program from Ruth Merrill Doyle and Jen Bennett. So if you guys like to... why don't you swing your chairs over here? I'm certainly happy to scoot over, and that way it's a little bit easier to participate in the conversation here.
Okay. I'm Ruth Merrill Doyle. I'm a health and wellness specialist with the wellness program. My colleague,
Jen Bennett. I'm a health and fitness specialist with Cornell Wellness.
You're health and fitness?
Yeah, I'm health and wellness.
So today we are essentially going to play the roles of the ghost of wellness past and the ghost of wellness present and future.
Who's the ghost of wellness past?
So I've been literally in my chair for the last 11 years, so I will speak historically from that perspective, although the wellness program has been around for 26 years. So historically we have had two sides of our house. The one side being our membership opportunities, the other side being our what we call our outreach opportunities. Most people know us as the wellness program, and if you want to join the program, you have a membership. Most people associate that with, I want to go to the fitness center, so I get a wellness program membership. So those opportunities include just that, fitness center usage, group fitness usage, pool usage. Historically, if you were a wellness member, you could meet with any of the fitness professionals or our dietitians individually for counseling that has to do with fitness, wellness, nutrition. We kind of broaden the topic because you never know where the conversation is going to go. So part of that individual attention was definitely a membership privilege. There were also a lot of athletic partnership privileges, and I keep using that word because we are going away from that word privilege. So a lot of athletic partnership opportunities like reduced cost sailing center lessons, reduced cost climbing wall
golf.
Membership, golf stuff. So a lot of entities that we partner with, COE, that's the climbing wall, thank you, we would partner with. And again, that was a membership opportunity or a membership privilege. The other side of the house was our outreach, open to anyone in the Cornell community as broadly as you can consider that. And historically was classes, like cooking classes or my walk to run class, groups, like our knit together groups, any lecture or webinar that we would host, and we would vary those topics every year, and anyone was welcome to participate in those. Also, I should mention a part of our membership privileges was our classes for healthy aging, which in fact Jen manages. So a huge percentage of retirees, not always retirees, but they were very active in those classes for healthy aging. So as we were looking at things very strategically, it very much occurred to us that things were not equitable on campus. with our participation, both with outreach and membership opportunities. So we, in the last, I would say, 8 years, really started to take our strategic plan, create our strategic plan, in fact, to target underserved populations. So those employees who couldn't come to the free stuff, much less the stuff that costs a little bit with the membership fee, because their job wouldn't allow them time away from work, either in the form of release time or flex time. Potentially they couldn't afford the membership to participate. So we targeted certain populations and literally and figuratively met them where they were at. We've gone to the department, to the grounds department. We've held lectures just for facilities management. We've held life coaching sessions at certain departments. So really trying to create as level of playing field as we could as a department. And then came the employee survey. So there was very focused attention on wellness and personal growth inequities. The EA, I believe it was the EA proposal to have release time available and as a policy for all employees was rejected by our previous president, which didn't really sway us from our intention to, again, level the playing field and make as much of what we do available to people with breaking down as many barriers as we could. So that said, the ghost of wellness past, I'm going to leave it to the ghost of wellness present in the future.
So here comes 2015. I've been here 2.5 years, so I came in the jumble of, like, we were told no, now what are we going to do? So knowing that people couldn't have equal release and flex times, we were like, okay, well, how do we still make it equitable? Can't be equal. We're going to make it equitable. So wellness branding campaign, we were looking for new ways to engage employees and departments that went beyond the fitness center and what was known as the wellness program. So the campaign intentionally downplayed the membership. The membership stays the same. You still get your perks, which is what we're now calling privileges, perks of COE, sailing center, golf, tennis, all of that. You can still use the fitness center for the rest of the employees that don't want anything to do with that. We're going to meet them where they're at. So we're going to offer things at a variety of times for shift workers. We're going to offer things at a variety of locations. So we will go off campus. We have what we've now termed the near campus places, like East El Plaza, downtown, like those types of places. And we're going to give them what they want. So what we've done is we've changed the name. We are now formally calling ourselves Cornell University Wellness Program for kind of off campus, and then on campus, Cornell Wellness. And we've devised our plan into two parts. What can we do for your department, and what can we do for you? So that's what we're looking at. So we're encouraging and supporting departments and units to make their own wellness committees, wellness groups, and we've come up with a survey to help them decide what do their employees want. Not just what does one person want for their group, what do they want? So then we can come up with planning for them and support for them. But then also, what do you as an individual want? So now, if you are a Cornell employee, so faculty, staff, retiree, spouse, or partner, that's who we are serving, and you want to meet with us about fitness, but you want to find ways to be active out in the world, you want to find out what you can do on your lunch break, you're someone that's tied to a phone for your entire day, you have a limited lunch break, like what can you do? You don't have to necessarily, like the phone might be your primary responsibility, but you could listen to a webinar in the background. So how can we show you what wellness has for you, or if wellness doesn't have something that speaks to you, how can we provide those opportunities? So we've updated our website to reflect these changes. We've now started putting out press releases in Career Life, Paul Print. We've sent them out to CASE, the CNGs, all of those things, and we'll continue to shout from the rooftop that we're available in here. And we're also, one of the other things, we're looking for spaces and buildings across campus that are convenient and private for people to have those conversations about fitness, nutrition, wellness, life coaching. Did I miss anything?
No, I think just to reiterate, the biggest thing is that we're making ourselves available for individual one-on-one wellness consultations, as we're titling them, for anyone within the Cornell community. No membership, no money, no fee for anyone to pick our brain. The minute you want to step into a facility, that's where you would need to have what we have now recoined the recreation membership. It's no longer the wellness membership. So we're free. We've cheapened our date. We are even cheaper date. So I guess hearing those changes, we're curious kind of what's standing out for you, because we would love lots of feedback and see this as an opportunity to grow even more in how we're changing. Yeah?
I think you mentioned something about a survey to send to other people. Like, is that available now, or how do they access that?
So we have that on our website. Anyone can take it at any moment, and we're kind of looking at it every few days to see if anyone out there is taking the survey. And it's meant to be like, you know, yes, I want wellness to come to my department. This is what I think I would like within our department. So we may flash that out to, let's say, the libraries want us to come in. They can send just that simple survey out to their people, but we'd also like to consider customizing surveys for departments. We find a lot of times when we are invited to departments, it's the supervisor wanting something for those employees, and then once we get in the room, the conversation is very different than how we thought it would be going. So it's available on our website, but customizable per department.
How many of these like consultations on-site things have you done? Like, what's been the reception from the employee community so far?
Well, I mean, one-on-one meetings are what we primarily do. Yesterday I had 5 one-on-one meetings. Since the, as we call it, information started getting splashed, we have not gotten a huge response, interestingly, 2 or 3. I will tell you that this summer, when we were the wellness program, I'm still trying to change my terminology from wellness program to Cornell Wellness. We splashed out some information to our CPHL members, those members who participate with the Cornell Program for Healthy Living, saying, hey, we're here. We're here to meet with you one-on-one. This is how we do our best work. So each person got an individual email. We got a huge response. I mean, to the tune of a couple hundred people within a week's time saying, yeah, I want to meet. Can you meet next Tuesday? So we haven't gotten a huge response. My inkling is that individual email made a big difference. When someone got that and they thought that Ruth was emailing BJ about this meeting, it meant more. So right now it went out in Career Life. It went out in Paw Print. It has gone out in our weekly email, which is a gigantic e-list of mostly members, but not some of them are not members. So we're hoping for a better way to communicate. We were ready and poised. You know, on Monday it was like, how many emails are going to be there? And it wasn't a huge response.
And I think the whole department work of like departments asking has come from departments doing just that, and us feeling like we need to support departments that feel like this is what's going to work best for them. And Carrie, Hal, and I do a lot of room assessments. If you want to have yoga in this room, we're going to come in, we're going to make sure it's safe, we're going to talk to you about concerns that we have. But finding ways for employees to feel like they can kind of do wellness where they're at without having to ride a bus or eat their entire lunch break and flex time and release time, if they're even granted all of that.
So if a supervisor wants to invite you in, are you recommending that the unit fill out the survey first so that you get an idea of what's in the minds of people, and then you would come in? Is that the best approach?
Yes. Usually the supervisor would end up calling Beth McKinney. She's our point person for what we call department work, and just have that conversation. This is what I'm thinking. I'd really like to provide something for my folks. And she would probably refer to that survey. Unless they were very specific about what they wanted. And in terms of department work, we're talking cooking demos, we're talking stretching at your desk, we're talking, let's talk about self-management, which is the sneaky way of saying stress management. So we can be more certainly playful and fun and engaging, like the cooking demo. I always say go that way first, because it really, who pulls people in? So go by way of cooking demo. And that sometimes sparks interest to people who normally wouldn't participate.
So I was just going to throw out there, because we've been partnering with you guys a little bit with East Hill. So East Hill has started our own little wellness group for HR and payroll. And what we did is we pulled together a committee similar to what they do in VET. We have some committees mm-hmm. together, but we've also partnered with Cornell Wellness to do, like, they came in and did a cooking demo for us, but then we also had somebody who's really into smoothies, so someone from our team did a smoothie workshop. And we set up, like, walking groups and different things. You guys would come out and set our space for working out, because for us, it is a bus ride to campus to take advantage of using the facilities.
And we also have rooms over in EHOB that now we know that we can reserve. So if enough need is there, I can go for an afternoon and just kind of set up hour-long individual or half-hour-long, whatever it might be, individual appointments with people so they don't have to leave their building.
We're having chair massages today. Mm-hmm. 10 bucks for 10 minutes.
Woo! Boom. We also heard from our wellness advisory council that when different departments across campus offer trainings, like what they do or our trainings, that supervisors are then more receptive. So we've also designed for trainings that are 15 to 30 minutes that would fit in an all-staff meeting, to where we would come in and talk about one of the topics is how to have a successful walking meeting or taking breaks or having snacks throughout the day. So it's things that will hopefully improve productivity, but also will keep your people moving and happy and healthy and engaged.
Mm-hmm. Could you guys successful walking meetings?
Yeah. We're all about that. Could you give some more examples of things that have gone well and then other areas that, because I'm hearing in terms of challenges, it's just finding spaces. Are there other challenges that you're finding? And then what are some other successful things that you've done so we can kind of help spread those things around as well?
I think some challenges are still that people find it very challenging, for lack of a better word, to take time out of their day. They're, you know, potentially feeling like they can't leave their desk because they're anxious about not being at that space, or they've been told they can't leave their desk at certain times. So I think that word has not gotten out that we will make it work for you. You know, we will come to your office. I'll come at 7:30 in the morning before you start work. You know, so I think that getting that information out there is helpful. There will always be departments where people are just not comfortable meeting with us at all. One interdepartmental challenge we have is we don't have someone who works evening hours. And this happens in flurries. We suddenly have a flurry of requests for evening time. Our fitness centers are horribly packed in the evening, so it's not even viable to have a meeting that would include the fitness center in the evening. But if people just want to talk, it's a little tricky. I think we all try to flex our day, but, you know, we each have our own career life stuff anyway, so we're in the same boat of trying to get kid care. And
one thing that I think has worked well, we were very intentional in the last several years of surveying kind of the CNG representation. So what we would do intentionally was to email them first about activities or programs that were offered, or we would go and personally invite that group to participate in a program, or we would do a program just for CNG, which I think actually did really help get those populations into our programming, or at least provide programming for them where they were at.
I think we should maybe do in our EA update in the next couple of months or month or two something around, you know, maybe it's a wellness story, or, you know, I think like hearing what Tanya had to say about like what they're doing, those are the sort of, because you can hear, yeah, you'll come to my department, right? That's great. But when you hear, oh, a department had us come and did this, and here's what, you know, Bill the manager had to say about that experience, and, you know, I think that's sort of that positive messaging that maybe we could help craft.
And we certainly have our eye on who is making it work.
Yeah.
So we can provide good examples. That came up in the past, like trying to market or at least tell the story of departments that are really doing a good job. For example, the College of Engineering, although it's not a department, it's a huge college, they do give their employees release time. They subsidize the wellness membership. There's just kind of this culture of personal growth opportunities there. But I think people were fearful that it would shame other departments that just couldn't figure out a way to make it work. I like the idea of highlighting the places that are. This way would be nicer because instead of saying, you know, of the few colleges we have hundreds of departments, so let's look at these little places that are absolutely making it work.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, we can help tell that story and use sort of our method of communication.
That'd be great.
What are some, I mean, you mentioned engineering is somewhere that, you know, has these kind of flexible. What are some other things that you think engineering does that help their employees be able to access your benefits?
I feel like it's really a cultural thing. It's the stuff that you can't exactly point your finger to. But when you have offices where multiple people are getting away from their desks throughout the day, suddenly it seems like a good idea for all these other offices. Oh, they're going out. I'm going to go out. Can I stay outside? Yeah.
I think they're also pretty flexible, and they understand that not everyone's going to want this. Like, not everyone wants to go to the fitness center, but they might want flexibility in a different way. The supervisors do it as well, so it's like both ends, like the person working the desk gets to do it as well as the supervisor. It's not just something that exempt employees get. So I think they try to make it as equitable as possible.
In terms of who's contacting you, do you see a difference between exempt and non-exempt members?
For department work or for individual appointments?
Both.
That's a good question. We get our metric information on individual appointments from HRIS, and I don't know that I can give a good representation of what that breakdown was, which leads me to think it wasn't outstanding. It was kind of equal for the one-on-one appointment. For the department work, I mean, we have reached out to a fair number of departments who would be those who are more constrained. They have more hourly employees. I don't know that they would be endowed versus contract size, but they have more laborious jobs. They tend to come back, you know, and include us in some of their training or some of their employee development stuff because they know that it's of value to their employees. And their employees feel appreciated when we bring a cardiologist in to talk about whatever just for their group. That example, but you know. Yeah.
I have a question. Do you find that when you do, like, you know, in the spring we have those things where we got in teams, and mm-hmm. do you find that when you do these campus-wide initiatives that there's a spike in people saying, you know, I got started, I can get out away from my desk, I can walk for half an hour, I want to continue, I want to do more. I mean, does that help? Is that something that you can somehow get that word out that we can come to you?
Absolutely. You know, those events absolutely tend to spark not only membership, but also just interest in meeting for, say, a life coaching session, or now they could meet for a fitness consultation. They wouldn't have to be a member. But it seems, again, like it's more talking to a person on the phone, and they're new to campus, or maybe not, and just would, you know, aren't really sure where they should go, and I'll say, why don't I meet you at Teagle? Let's just do a tour before you decide if you want to join. You can see it. And they're kind of astounded that they'll get individual attention simply for a tour. So it's really kind of educating each individual, or maybe a department, if we're there for department work, to say, hey, you know, you can call me and we can have a conversation about group fitness classes if you want. I have the time to do that. That's how we do our best work, is with one-on-one stuff. So, yes, the events definitely help, but it's more like people are still surprised. They're still not clear how individually we will meet with them.
Although this is backtracking a little bit, but in terms of during onboarding, what kind of messaging is there for the wellness program when someone is new to the university?
Since you're newest, I'm going to let you say.
What
did you learn about?
I think I was kind of like, you work for the wellness program. Don't forget the wellness program. You know, we get mixed messages because we'll have, especially with the CPHL, people think that since they sign up for CPHL, what we're now referring to as their recreation membership automatically starts with that, and it's actually two different entities. So, and then we ask, we say, well, what was your experience or what do you hear? And I think it all depends. I think that onboarding, there's a lot of things that they go over. And as a new employee, it was extremely overwhelming. I don't know how long all of you have been here, but, you know, and wellness is kind of a knock. It was a non-essential. Like, I was worried about, you know, insurance and parking and my IC card and what it got me and all of that. But anytime we hear that there are aren't a lot of talks about wellness, please try to talk with onboarding. I know Beth has gone over and talked with onboarding as well.
Is that something you can, because I mean, I agree with you. When you're new, you don't think about this as your first thing. But maybe, is there a way for us to track, like, 6 months in, a year after you started, then you follow up with them and say, hey, you've been here for a year. Have you considered also doing the same kind of wellness, those kinds of things?
Yeah. That would be awesome.
I think people getting an individual email, I know that the university, you know, frowns upon sending out mass email to people because we get so many emails every day. But I think it's that individual touch to kind of reach out to a new employee personally, and it may be me or someone else saying, hey, I'm Ruth. I'm with the wellness program. You don't have to be a member. If you'd like to meet, talk about how do you get more sleep, or if you want to talk about you just had a baby and you want to get back to fitness. It's that individual touch that really, I think, makes a difference and sparks people's interest to take us up on our offer.
Mm-hmm. Other questions, okay? Great. Well, I love Greg's idea. We'll include it in our EA update. I think all of us here work with different departments to help me spread out that message that this is something that has worked. It's not just, hey, come see us, and that's kind of the end of it as well, too. So we'll reconnect with you. I guess if we can pull some of those stories and send those our way, so we can include them in our update, that would be excellent.
Yes, we can do that. Awesome.
Great.
Thanks
so much. Yay. Has anyone here participated in any of these wellness things?
I did a running class. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the... Thank you. Okay, if you guys want to get set up here.
Oh, yeah, please. That's right.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's happy.
Yeah. Do you need to plug in?
I do. The report crime said that they can make people happy if you make them happy.
Okay. Oh, I like that, Tanya.
Seems to make me happy, and I'm not that. So.
Good. How are you?
I'll leave the paper on the table. And there's no weight losses already.
I'm happy to jump in if you want. You know what? If I think I should have a doctor, I would say, it should still be up in my head, right?
Yeah,
we went to your normal state. We got redirected. It's actually on.
Like if I just pull it and put like $5.
I feel like I was just saying that we aren't going to be that long. And I feel like my nuts in your way if you do that.
So while this being set up, I'd just like to introduce our folks from Performance Dialogue Updates from Workday, and I'll let you guys introduce yourself.
So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Kathy Berkman. I'm Senior Director of Organizational Workforce Development, and Amy Parmley is working with me, and she's from Human Resource Information Systems. So I know some of you know one or both of us. So what we're here to talk to you about is we are in the process of putting performance management tools into Workday. The first one that we're starting with is the Performance Dialogue.
And we're doing this so that we can, A, get the best use out of Workday that we can, because we know that there's so many capabilities to the system, we want to take advantage of those. And so as we load different things onto it, we want it to be something that's very useful for employees. So we are very excited, actually, about this venture. We're piloting it, which Amy's going to talk more about it, within Alumni Affairs and Development this fall. And then we hope to be moving forward next spring so that at least either another pilot or more employees are using Workday to do their performance dialogue. And there's lots of reasons for this, but number one is we have tried every kind of form imaginable to make them easy, and it's just using Word and that kind of thing just kind of becomes clunky. So that hasn't necessarily been a great solution for us. So we are really working to make it as smooth as possible. Amy will share with you some of the feedback that we've been receiving from the group that's piloting this right now. And so we're really excited about it. And then as an aside that we're not going to talk about today, but that we will be in the future, I'll be coming back to asking BJ if I can have some more time to talk about two policies that are related to this, which is one, the performance management policy, and two, career development. And I just raise that to you now to say I just want you to know that as we make this move to bring things into Workday, it will lead to policy updates. And I actually don't want to fully send out the policy until the whole Workday system is as smooth as possible. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy.
Great. So I'm going to reiterate a couple of things that Kathy said. We are in the process of piloting with Alumni Affairs and Development. So what does the pilot mean? It's basically Rick Banks and all of the people who report to them, him. So that's about, I think, 65 individuals. So we went through training, and they're in the process of doing the performance review. Basically, the message that we got was fantastic, we want more. And so some of the reasons, you know, why I think Workday will be helpful, and it's not the super magical, you know, solution fixes everything, but it definitely takes us some steps forward. So ease of use is, you know, it's intuitive. So as we train folks, you know, it seemed like it was easy and people, you know, could grasp it. Something that I think is really helpful to managers and certainly to human resource folks is the ability to track. So, you know, we say we want everyone to have a performance review. How do we know who's had that performance review, who's had that conversation? It's very trackable in Workday. Not only can I see in my organization, you know, who's done what when, but across the university I can see where it's been implemented. Something that was a big win, you know, some of the feedback that we got was, wow, it's super because ease of access. As an employee, I can go in and see, once my review is done, I can see that review. It's the same version as my manager is looking at. I don't have to call human resources. They also are looking at the same form. So I don't know about you, but I spend usually about 5 to 10 minutes searching through the folders trying to find the right version. So the other thing I think that's really helpful is there's some features in there that, for example, one of the things that we have asked and will continue to do is have you looked at your position description. So as an employee, sometimes we say, you know what, my position description does not match what I do on a daily basis. So they check that box. Unfortunately, those papers get shoved off and, you know, it ends up to be a huge stack maybe on the HR director's table, and they don't always get managed appropriately. So in here, you know, you can pull out a report whose position description does not match and see those individuals and kind of go after and work with those people. So that's an example of, again, how I think it's a small win, but could be a big win for an individual. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would there be a way for people to click on the job description, right?
So that's a great question. So again, how I said the feedback from Alumni Affairs was we want more. So we're in the process right now of working with the colleges and units they are putting position descriptions in Workday.
Right.
And so Alumni Affairs is halfway through. And so some of the people that we trained had that and others did not. And so the response was, yes, I want that. So again, the concept of I'm doing my performance review. I just click here. I can see my position description. Mm-hmm. I don't have to, again, go searching. And we all of us are looking at the same version. You know, the version may not be up to date, but that's the chance to say it's not up to date and let me take action. So,
and I would add to that, what you're going to see also connects to the skills for success, the leadership skills for success, those one package. The staff position description is not editable yet in Workday. So we're not that far. We can only upload whatever version we have.
But we're working on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're working on
it. So all of this is, I would say, work in progress, but we're moving forward and getting a lot of positive feedback. I'm just going to touch on this, but the concept of having this information, the performance review information in Workday, position descriptions in Workday, along with employee data, years of service, and a lot of other information, again, marrying that all up gives us the ability to really understand better what talent we have at the university. So again, I think, you know, we're moving in the right direction. So, yes.
Who uses Workday?
Really, so again, it's a great question. So when we were at Alumni Affairs and Development, I asked, that was one of my first questions, how many of you have been in Workday? And actually, we had 100% of them raise their hand. So the users of Workday are everyone in this room, in theory, as employees.
I've never heard of it. I'm an hourly employee, though.
Yes.
I don't know if that's...
Well, it may have an impact. So as exempt employees, they are to use Workday to record time off. And also, obviously, the other piece, as any employee, so yourself, Billy, can go into Workday and see information about your pay. You can see information about... you know, just the data that the university has for on you in terms of your bio demo data, years of service, your title, and that kind of information. So the concept of who's seen Workday, actually we're working close with Jennifer. The human resource folks use it almost every hour.
Every minute.
It's the tool that they really leverage. And obviously payroll and benefits. But also managers, I think there is a lot in there for them, but as we're looking down the road, more and more is being rolled out. So this performance review, essentially we want all employees in there, we want managers in there. In the beginning of next year, we're looking at rolling out recruitment, so applicants and hiring managers. So the population is growing and growing, but we're working with communications really to get the message out there. So other questions? Okay, so I think it's most helpful in using our time is to jump in and give you a quick look at what it looks like in the system today. Kathy didn't touch on this too much, but part of the pilot with Alumni Affairs is a new form, if you will. So in Workday, we actually currently have two different, and we call them templates, or you know, really it's forms. So there's the traditional form that has been at the university for
2009
years. so that's the traditional form. And then we're calling it the narrative form. So it's more open-ended questions, and it's a narrative form. So it's not quite as long, but again, we're piloting that. So Alumni Affairs, this is the form. 90% of them are piloting. We are doing a small pilot with a traditional form. So today I'm going to jump in and show you what the new narrative form looks like. And this isn't a test environment, just to let you know.
And while she's doing that, when units contact us and this coming few months and want training around Workday, we'll provide the Workday training.
Amy will provide the Workday training.
And organizational workforce development, if they so choose, will provide training around how to get feedback. So we've really looked at the amount of time. You know, we figure 45 minutes for the Workday piece, 45 minutes for the feedback piece, and we've been trying to really keep that together. that it will be each unit's option, whether they have workday and feedback or just workday.
Actually, I'm just curious for myself, how many of you have been in workday at least once? Okay, almost everyone. Okay. So, this is Workday. I'm going to take you right to my inbox. So, I've made it smaller, so let me know if it works for you. So, I'm jumping to my inbox because I have actually... Yeah, that's too small, isn't it? I have already, we have done this training, so I've already started a performance review. I'm going to use myself as an employee first. So I actually wear two hats. I'm an employee, but I also have people reporting to me, so I'm a manager. So as an employee, there is, the self-evaluation piece of this. So again, you're going to see the narrative form version that we're looking at. I call this the TurboTax option. It's super light in here, so it's hard to see, so I apologize. But basically, there is the summary where you can pull up the full, or you can have the guided. So I'm going to continue where I left off. It's so painful to shut those windows. Yeah.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah. So I'm not going to go through all the details, but if you see something that jumps out, please ask a question. But the concept of this narrative template is really just to ask open-ended questions. So describe what you've done well this year. So the employee clicks in the box. I can expand the box. It has formatting, so I can type in here, this is what I've done well, bullet point one, bullet point two,
as many characters as you want.
Mm. As long as you want. There's hyperlinks as well. So if you want to point to the examples of things that you've done to provide samples, that is also an option. What's the status of last year's goals? Workday does have the capability of doing goals. Our pilot has just been the performance review piece, but the concept is if we can do goals in Workday, when you get to this performance review piece, so let's say during my conversation, Kathy's my manager, I established goals this year. Come next year, you can pull those goals in and also use the goals throughout the year to kind of give updates. So it's dynamic in that regard. So you can see this narrative form. This is something that's quite different. On the longer traditional form, I shouldn't say longer, the traditional form, you actually rate each skills for success. I think different individuals have preferences. So a lot of people loved this, just having that open-ended box. There were others that did give us feedback like, wow, I really want to be specific about which skill for success. And you can do that here as well. But there's hyperlinks. When I click on this, it opens a separate page that shows me the skills for success, the characteristics. I can cut and paste as well.
Actually, Amy, there's one thing. You'll notice the third column used to be fully achieved. We have changed that to successful. If you're doing well in your job, you're successful.
Yeah. Okay, let me jump down. I'm just going to show you, in terms of the navigation, I think it's pretty intuitive. So these are the different sections. I know it's hard to read, but the next section is about development opportunities. So a person could skip a question. I don't know about you, but I like to answer and then walk away for a while and then come back in and look at it a second time. So the form can be saved, it's saving, auto-saving, and you can come in and out as you wish. So let's say I want to jump next to the next section and skip a question. It's not going to throw an error. It just lets employees complete as the questions as they see fit. So this is a little bit of a shift here. The development is, again, the concept, you're seeing concepts of open-ended questions. So this is the, if you will, IDP process for this narrative form.
Can you all read that?
But again, the open-ended questions, share specific examples and action items, essentially. What do you want to develop and when? So an employee would pretext there. For time to take, yeah, go ahead.
So the way the process would work, so now I fill out my form, mm-hmm. and I meet with my supervisor. So I send them beforehand, so she's read them, and then we talk about it, and then so there's that.
So it's just essentially the way it works is I'm completing my cases. I would, just for time's sake, I'm going to say I'm going to do, I'm going to say I've looked at my position description, yes or no, I agree with it. If I have to do the NCAA compliance question, I would do that. I would, it lets me give my overall performance review. I think I'm successful, and this is why. I would submit it, and once I hit that button, submit, it then routes to my manager. So I'm going to go in now. I'm playing my second hat as my as the manager. So
she gets to be her employee and her manager.
So I'm sorry if this is confusing. But yeah. So there we go. So I'm just going to show you this. So this is my employee, and this is how he's answered his questions. So the form shows me if the questions are identical, but you're seeing what the employee has submitted, and so the manager then would share their feedback on that specific question. So again, people have different styles and different opinions about performance dialogues and how to do them. I know Kathy, for example, says she doesn't like to read what her direct reports write. Basically, you know, it's there. Yeah, prior to meeting with them, it's there, but I tell her to shut one eye if you want, but the information is there. So the manager would go through and fill it out. Once they hit submit, and I'm going to verbally share this with you, it goes to a to-do step. And it basically says, now's the time to sit down and have the meeting with your employee. Okay? Workday gives you the flexibility. Some people like to share that feedback with their employee before that meeting. Others like to have the meeting and share it at that point in time. And then others like to share it afterwards. Basically, you're able to do a print version of this at any point in time. So if you wanted to print and send it to them in an email, you could. Once the dialogue has happened, though, in the system, you want to hit, like, the to-do is done, and then it will flow to another step. So the last two steps are what we call the acknowledgement steps. And it's supposed to be post-meeting, and it basically is similar to the traditional form saying, I had my meeting, and these are my final comments. First it goes to the employee, and then it goes to the manager. So it's a way to just give final comments post-meeting. Yes?
So as you're in progress with your sort of self-evaluation, mm-hmm. does that show up real time, or do you have to hit submit? I don't know if I'm...
Yeah, so that actually was a design question for us. The way that we set it up is that as an employee, I first do my self-evaluation. No one can see anything until I hit that submit button. So I can, like I said, answer some questions, wait, print it out, read it, change it, delete it. You know, my mood has changed a bit. You know, I changed the word.
Amy and I were the ones who pushed for that the most, honestly.
Yeah, because there is another form where it is real time, and there was a big concern about that. So the concept is here, you would communicate timelines saying, you know, employees, please submit your feedback to me by X. So that is like the fast version, but again, we're super excited about this. And we've had a lot of positive feedback. Yes, Amy.
It looks great. One question I have is when it gets submitted to me
mm-hmm.
as a manager, mm-hmm. and then I write my own one?
Yes.
And that eventually is the end version, and what was submitted to me stays in a just between me and the
company. So the end version is actually the combination of the employee and the manager. So I don't know. So the comments that the employee writes is there, and the comments the manager writes is there. The only difference is the manager's final evaluation, whether they're successful or, help me with the other term,
failed to achieve.
That's the overall performance evaluation that if you will, trump. So, but the rest of it is that combination feedback.
But both can always be seen. So
well, when we designed this, we designed it for every possible combination of usage we have on campus. Majority of organizations have people send everything in through the HR. So HR keeps both the employee's documents, the supervisor's documents, they're all filed. So what we went for, what's the greatest common denominator? And the greatest common denominator is typically everything goes up through the system.
I think here's the situation I'm thinking of is that someone says, I was awesome at this, and the supervisor thinks, well, that actually wasn't so awesome. How does that line up?
So I don't think it's much different than today. I think there's today people that say I'm awesome, and they write it on a piece of paper, and they submit it to their manager, and the manager may. So that conversation is still the main focus.
Yeah.
And when we're doing the training, at least what we piloted, Jim Sheridan was there, and you know we talked about the conversation. This is to prepare you for the conversation, and it's really hopefully just more time efficient, really, and. And the conversation there is the critical piece. And so in terms of the documentation, if there is the example we use, which is kind of silly but makes the point, like, you know, Kathy is my manager and she says, you know, I appear to be lazy. And I say, you know what, in the meeting, I say, I disagree with that. I don't think that's a fair statement. Can you give me more specifics? And Kathy's like, that's fair. You know, like some more specific examples are, you know, when I walk by your desk, you're often your feet, or when I walk by your office, your feet are up sometimes on your desk. And so, you know, like some, you want to go back and edit it. You can, in the system, go backwards and edit and change the language. It depends on your opinion, but it's very auditable. So you'll see those different versions, and there is capabilities of writing comments. So it may be that you say, during the meeting, you know, we agreed that the language should be adjusted to this, and that changes were made. So, yeah, so here's, you know, quickly, I'm not going to spend too much time, but you have this printable view. I'm sure that this one is not a complete one, and I apologize, but we do a lot of testing. So, you know, you have the ability to print these final reviews.
Can you put it down again so that they can see that?
So you'll see, yeah, keep going. You'll see that the comments for the employee and the supervisor are side by side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is probably, you know, towards the bottom, the employee rates themselves as successful. The manager agrees. There's no comments here. It's probably not the best model.
And
the
other would be comments if there were discrepancies.
It's not even if there's discrepancies. I know with my own experience, my manager maybe will say successful and just write a comment, like a motivating comment. Say, you know, this has been a great year and you've achieved a lot. And, you know, so.
But yeah. All that stuff is in the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so everything that's on the current form is on this form. So, for example, the FTD certification, staff position description certification, and the NCAA addendum is there, and I don't know if you're aware, we have to have the NCAA in there by law, so we have to have it somewhere that is consistent, say, down year to year, and so this is where Mary and the council's office and us have agreed to have it. So if it doesn't affect you, you don't have to respond to it. If it does affect you, you have to respond to it.
One of the big things we had from our employee survey a while ago was the ability to provide feedback to supervisors. Mm-hmm. So how does this performance dialogue system incorporate that whole process?
So what we'll be doing this year is we'll still be using Qualtrics that people can use to get feedback. And we're looking at Workday, and it has a place where you can provide feedback. What we're doing is, I think you are,
mm-hmm.
HRIS is working with them to say, we have a few issues with it, so we're working with them to say, can we smooth these particular things out so that it's more confidential?
Yeah. I mean, the last comment I'll say is it is helpful because we're reaching outwards as well. There's a number of other universities They're currently using Workspace for all of the things we talked about, feedback, performance review goals. And so we're talking to them about, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and trying to learn as much as we can.
Actually, I shouldn't say confidential. I should say anonymous.
Yeah.
Because right now, I believe when I saw the system, which would be a year and a half, mm-hmm.
yeah.
ago, if I put a comment in, you, BJ, knew exactly that it would be.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so we want it to be such that, you know, you can do it without having yourself.
Yeah, I would say that that maybe has evolved. Double-edged sword, if you want, is this tool is always changing and evolving, and for the better, but sometimes, you know, it's challenging to keep up with those changes, so.
My question was, so if you switch jobs, and yeah, you have a different supervisor down the line, does that supervisor, the new supervisor, can he or she receive this task? But I don't know if that happens now, if I got a different job, would that?
Yeah. I think it's been consistent now, I mean, in terms of the practice. I know, I'm positive it's been consistent. So the way Workday functions is Cornell is one employer, and this performance review is attached to me as an employee. So if I transfer, it does go with me. So that new manager would be able to view it.
So currently Cornell already operates under the one employer, but that doesn't mean that every unit forwards the records mm-hmm. that go with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, they would. Ideally, if I move departments, my records are forwarded.
Yeah.
I do know a handful of supervisors after facilitating leadership and management program who don't look at past records, whether they're available to them or not. They want to make their own decisions around them. So I think people are going to do what people are going to do. And some
right.
supervisors request that the information be forwarded to them. So it's, again, just a mixed bag.
Looking at this systemically, I mean, there's a section there pointing like training and things that look forward to leadership development. Is there a way for you sitting like at the center of all these to see, you know, are there trends of many people are requesting this kind of training in the performance dialogue, or is it still dependent on supervisors to kind of forward that information on?
I would say in this, it's going to be initially supervisors forwarding that up, but what we're also developing, another system that you will hear about when we're ready to be rolling it out, is the learning management system. So we're putting in a new learning management system that will have the capabilities to store trainings you've had. It will have the capabilities to push out trainings that you need. So let's say I'm a PI in a college and I need certain training in environmental health and safety. It will push that out to me to say, you need this system now.
Yeah.
So with these two systems in combination, I think we'll be able to meet that goal.
Okay.
It's hard for me, and I'm sure Kathy, and I'm sure Tanya, sometimes to sit in our seats.
Yeah.
As well as Jennifer, because we know all that's out there that's coming, and I think, you know, that question, yes, we're getting there, but we're just not, you know, this is one step, and we're trying to take steps towards that direction. So.
And so, and I'm sorry if I'm late.
No,
it's
okay.
So once it's all submitted, signed off, and done, then so the employee can go back and read through all of theirs and have that historical information
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
track their own progress and things like that as well.
Absolutely. Yep. That's the idea. Is it's not supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be visible and alive, really.
Sure.
So, yep.
Other questions from folks? This is great.
Thumbs up?
Now?
Yeah.
Thumbs up?
Good.
What are some things you're looking for the EA in terms of feedback, advertising, what are we?
So, again, I think we're looking at this pilot, trying to learn as much as we can right now. In terms of next steps, looking at the next year, we are, you know, hoping that some of the folks that did the pilot will be voices for us, but we're also looking to go to leadership to make sure that they are champions for this as well. You know, we want people to know about Workday, and we want to really fully utilize it. So it's a little bit of a vague answer, but I think, again, just being champions and voices out there for us.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so you're looking to implement then?
We would love to implement for the next cycle.
So starting January or June?
We are unsure if we're going to implement cross campus or if we're going to ask for pilots.
Yeah.
because HRIS is working their magic to have everything that the AMD and that we've been wanting in it, and we just don't know if time allows us to do that.
Right, because we also have our recruitment project that's running parallel at the same time. So we hope to, and again, people's cycles and timelines are a little bit different, so we're learning as we go. So.
And so will this also be used for UAW staff, or is that separate?
So there is a separate UAW version, just like there is now. We've uploaded that version into Workday. So if we go out onto, I'm going to call it Jennifer Internet, right? But it's not really Jennifer, it's HR. But it's Jennifer, so I got to talk to Jennifer when I want to do something with it. When we go out to that site, we will have the union performance dialogue paper Word document out on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And it will also be available in Workday. These two versions that we just talked about will not be available to go find on the Internet anymore. Because if they are, we won't, quote, invite people to Workday.
Yeah.
They will keep using the old. Do you agree?
Totally, yeah.
So you're going to call me up and you're going to say, can you put that on the Internet site? And I'm going to say, nope, not actually here.
But you
I mean, I can, but I'm not going to.
We can use this, or it, depending on the
challenges that,
yeah.
You know, not everybody has a computer and
sure.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Although, I will tell you, I do think more people have computers than we realize, because when we ask in Turning Point, the question of how many of you have a computer, and we have staff who are supposedly in there who don't have a computer, these days, like, almost every hand goes up, like, every time. Can't even tell you the last time a hand didn't go up.
I think it's the difference between do people have access to a computer, or do people actually have computers?
Right.
We have access at the lab.
Yeah.
But I don't have one of my...
Right, don't have
one.
And that's really
like
what we're talking about is access.
The communal situation. So doing things like Workday.
Right.
I almost got a thing. I haven't looked at a thing in ages because I have eyes all around.
Yeah.
And that's all personal information.
Right. Yeah.
So I've heard it. I've used it once. But I certainly wouldn't use it in my communal setting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So would it make sense maybe you could get your office with one of the
green
screens? Because, like, we use them in our office. So unless you're sitting directly behind the screen over my shoulder, you wouldn't be able to see what's on the screen. And we use them because we're comfortable.
Well, you have your screen on right now, right?
Yeah, but I don't have my thing on. Like, we're not. I took it off because I was working in the sunshine. Like, just a little piece like that. Okay. So they can see everything I got on here.
I couldn't see where it was on.
Now you can.
You're lost.
But you can't really see unless you're, like, direct on. So that might be, an interesting thing to get for folks who are in those kind of situations.
Yeah, because I don't disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't want people to be able to
see that. We have one private room. We have hundreds of letters.
Yeah.
And then one for water. So you can do the math.
Yeah. So that's something Amy and I will be taking this back to HR Council. That's something that we can definitely bring up there.
And I see Jennifer writing it down, which is awesome, too. Because, again, you know, we're trying to get messaging out to employees and managers and understand obstacles. That's an obstacle we need to address.
I mean, I don't know if this maybe is the right solution for Workday, but I know we've utilized the computer labs for our UAW staff training or when we're rolling something out or trying to get everybody logged into a system. You know, we change the way that we schedule and have a system that we use for our schedules. And, you know, we took them all to a computer lab, so sometimes trying to facilitate that timing can be a challenge, but there's places available for certain types of that.
Right.
You have to want to find them.
Right.
So, are there any other questions about this? I just want to put one more thing out there, because I want to know how often you want to see us. So you can see Amy and I a lot. We've also purchased competencies, and I just throw this out there as an FYI looking forward. We're in my group and compensation and HR analytics are in the process of aligning them to every single job, and we'll be doing that in waves over years. It won't all happen at once. There's just way too many of them. We hope to be ready to roll that out sometime like late next spring. when we do that, I would like to come back to the employee assembly if that's something that you would like to see, because that would allow, in terms of career development, for people to go in and look at their job and say, here's my competencies that I am now, here's other jobs, here's competencies I need to be in them, so it, you know, will help and promote in terms of career development. And then that will also link that customer data.
Right. And that leads back to your training question, too. I'm here, I want to go here, what do I need to do? So.
Yeah. And so then it would be another reason, you know, for people to get more value out of Workday.
Mm-hmm. Because I think, I remember from the employee survey, those were the big things that were out there, mm-hmm. so it sounds like. What you're saying, people are asking the questions, we're taking it step by step, but it's good to know that things are moving forward in those realms.
Yeah, it very much does as well. Yeah. So between policies, LMS, and competencies, we'll be back.
Okay. Candy? Do you have a second, Candy?
Absolutely.
No. Oh, of course. Yeah?
Yeah.
So one of the, in our discussion with Mary yesterday, one of the topics came up about how we engage with the broad staff community around the burden of bureaucracy memo that came from the president's office.
Absolutely.
And one of the suggestions she had was reaching out to you, Kathy, because of some work you're doing with HR Council and maybe another group on campus.
Yep.
About ways to engage and, again, I'm sort of just not expecting a response, or if you have one, great. But we'd love to find a way to either host a forum or get some feedback so that we could formulate as an EA, here's some themes or trends that we've seen the employees reaching out to us. We've distilled them down into these few things, and now we want to communicate that back to senior leadership. So
I'm smiling because last night I sent you an email saying, would you like to send a survey to the employee assembly, and how would you like me to go about doing that? And I haven't heard back from her, but I'm sure she has a response. So I think we're on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
So we have created a survey. It's a really simple little survey, Greg Busby and I. Greg Busby will be facilitating the college officer and business officer group in terms of gathering ideas, and he will be facilitating what's called the small business group, small officers business group. And then I'll be gathering ideas for HR Council. We created a survey where in the survey, Mary Joanne and Paul Streeter, Joanne Stefano, wanted each group to come up with 5 priorities that they would, you know, speak to when the leaders wrote to President Garrett, right? She asked for each group to have 5 priorities. So what we're doing with this survey is for HR Council, we sent it out yesterday, we're asking every person to submit 5 priorities. Greg and I are going to meet next Monday, so we sent it out yesterday, we're going to meet next Monday. We are going to look at all of those priorities, and then we will take that to HR Council, I will take that to HR Council a week from today, and we'll say, here's the things that you said were important in terms of HR or the university. From there, they will keep boiling down the data and come up with the 5 priorities. Joanne DeStefano will do the same with her 2 groups. What I was offering to Mary last night is, could I send, would you want the survey sent to you? I would send it to BJ and you could send it out to everybody else. We could do the same thing, and then we could come in if you wanted and do a facilitated, it's an hour that we're going to do with HR Council and the other 2 groups. We would have that first blush of data, and then we would come in and we would show you what you all said, and then we could help you prioritize what your top 5 ideas were. And Greg and I would be more than happy to do that.
Yeah. So one of the things, too, I think that, I don't know if Mary was trying to get to this, was how do we engage the broad staff community?
And that would be what I would look to you
as the EA. So I don't know, maybe if we go through this exercise,
tell us it's 5
first, you know, come up with maybe 5 or 10 priorities, send it out and survey some of the broader staff, you know, in a simple...
And you ask what other ones are rising to the top for you?
Yeah, and keep... But I think this is a real opportunity for us to take advantage of an engagement and outreach effort around something that I think is creating a lot of buzz. Mm-hmm. On campus, there's a lot of clarity that's being sought, and I think as we had our meeting with President Garrett, I think we get it now, or get it more so than we did when we first read it.
Yeah.
and how do we help communicate some of that messaging and then make sure that the broad priorities are being boiled back up to the top, and it's not just the HR council and not just the small business officers group that are providing those priorities to senior leadership, but giving everybody an opportunity to have their voice, you know, part of that conversation.
And just so you know, Mary from the beginning, and I assume Joanna Paul, but Mary probably is the one who brought it up. When we started talking about gathering ideas from groups, employee assembly has been on that list from the beginning.
Okay. We love that.
So, you know, we're open to whatever you would like to do. If you want to start with this group first, if you want to start with a broader campus first.
Yeah, I think it's good, because just throwing out to the broader campus, I feel it's just like everything happens at once. There's no real focus. But I think if we start with this group, which is, should be representative of the campus in a sense, come up with some things and have those be the ones that you find with a broader audience.
So what I'll do, if it's okay with you, with it for a next step, I will reach out to Greg if he created the Qualtrics survey and ask him to create a version that is a link just for you. And then I will send that to BJ, who can send it to all of you. You tell us whatever time frame you want, and then we'll work on getting us back in the room to do the hour session with you.
Yeah, that'll be excellent. Great. Thank you.
And I will let you know I'm out of town. I'm on vacation the 29th through October 8th. Part of it's work, part of it's vacation. But I'm definitely not here that week. And I have building teams and leading change, one of the leads in October. So you have a
little bit. You'll find it.
That just can't begin.
Yeah.
Thank
you
so much.
Yep. You're wonderful.
All right, so in the last 2-3 minutes that we have left, just had a quick report from the chair. So I heard back from President's office. They'd like to do the President's address in November, so potentially November the 13th, which is a Friday, from 12 to 1.
I was just going to ask Veterans Day.
So I'll send it out again in an email. I'm just wondering if there are any initial ideas, concerns with that time. Otherwise, I do want to say yes to them and kind of start that planning process as well. November the 13th. So it's the President's Address to Staff. And so it's typically been an annual event. President addresses the staff. We ask for questions ahead of time as well, but kind of that's like a similar to like a state of the university, but also kind of addressing things that are happening. I think especially with the memo as well, I think it's a great opportunity for staff members to kind of meet the new president, kind of hear from her, as opposed to hearing through filtered channels about what she's going to say. And it's again, as a first engagement tool, I think doing a forum with the EA in terms of refining what we want to present, and then having the president herself then follow up, I think that's a good, you know, October, November kind of one too, in that sense. So. Yeah. So.
In the past, it's been at Bailey Hall. It's not available.
Okay. Good to know.
That's tough.
I think we're also on campus. Right?
I'm just thinking because central campus is the
same. Yeah.
It may be more popular than
especially if she's there.
Okay.
Do you know if there's a day around that that's also free? Like if that's Thursday?
Thursday during the day is
class.
We need to go, maybe go back to them and push on daily date.
Yeah.
12 is available
then. Okay. That's it.
Additionally, it's at noon, right?
Yeah, noon to 1 by an hour. So the 12th is an availability?
12
is. Okay. So I'll reply with that. At least we can nail down those kinds of dates. Are there other days kind of around that week that you can see in case they want other?
That I think is pretty busy period for Bailey. If you were doing a lot of Friday, there are none.
Okay. We're doing something else. That's what I figured. Okay. I'll send that back to the President's office today and then just see if they can do the day before. Okay.
Tuesday, Thursday, Thursday.
Great. Thanks, Bill, for inside Bailey connection.
If there's no other business, I'm just saying a motion to adjourn.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.